And of course, we have classes going on all over the building. But we're glad you're in here. Praise God. Amen. Excited, as Pastor John said, I guess this of course, we appreciate this carpet. This has been great, great carpet for us. This carpet's been down a long, long, long time and done really well. But we'll have our new carpet in when you come back Sunday week. And as John said, makes it very difficult to have Wednesday night service and even some logistic problems with people being so busy and so forth, even just doing a little online service, you know, at my house or something. But it'll be all right, praise God. And we'll come back the next Sunday, and people are working very hard in their offices, you know, and up and down these hallways to do things. So we're excited about this little redo that we're doing, praise God. Amen. Hello, you like that? You like the soundboards? I like those. Yeah, those are great. Praise God. And they help us with our sound, at least so I'm told. I know they do. I know they do. Praise God. I know they're expensive. But we serve a big God who's got all the money. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, are you ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Hallelujah. We'll begin tonight in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. I've been doing a series with you. It's been a couple of weeks because of guest speakers and this, that, and the other that I've done it with you. But this will be part 4 of how to succeed in life. And I think this will probably be the concluding message of this particular way we're doing it. Joshua chapter 1, verse number 7. Here God tells Joshua, who's replacing Moses, of course, and God wants him to succeed and God wants him to do well. And he says, only be strong and very courageous that you may observe to do. Everybody say, observe to do.
Observe to do.
Observe to do according to all the law. Well, if you put that in New Testament terms, according to all the word, which Moses, my servant, commanded you, do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, a lot of Bibles have a center column, cross-reference note, and on the word prosper there, they'll say, or do wisely or act wisely. He said, you see, because when you do what God tells you to do, you are acting wisely. If you act wisely, you will prosper. So if you are prospering, it's because you're acting wisely. And vice versa. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, this is the reason you do it, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Or as one commentary says, then you will be very prosperous and very successful. Glory to God. So in this passage, God tells us that if we meditate in His Word, now this is true of any subject. Find out what God's Word says to you about child training. Find out what God's Word says to you about your finances. Find out what God's Word says about the death of a loved one. You want to know how to deal with that wisely? Find out what the Word of God says. Find out what the Word of God says to do when other people mistreat you. Find out what the Word of God says when somebody falsely accuses you. The Word of God answers all these questions. Amen. Find out what the Word of God says about grief, or about suffering loss, or anything else. And when you find out what God's Word tells you to do, then you will know what to do. And then when you act on what God's Word, now you always have to act in faith. Amen. When you act on what God's Word says, when you obey what God's Word tells you to do in faith, then you, see, God's not doing it. I mean, He's telling you how to do it, but then you will be acting wisely, and your own wise actions will cause you to succeed or to prosper. Can you say amen? Amen. And so we want to experience success or victory versus what? Failure and defeat. I mean, if you don't have success, you have failure. You have defeat. And then, Psalms 1 talks about this, and we read that. We'll not take time to read it now, but Psalms 1 tells us the same thing, just a little bit different way. But yeah, and you know this, but James says it's the doer of the word that's blessed. Let me say that a different way to you. It's the doer of the word that overcomes. If you overcome, you're blessed, aren't you? It's the doer of the word that succeeds. James 2:17 says, faith, or the way it's written there, you could say this, what some people call faith, if it has not works, Weymouth translation says, if it has not corresponding actions, is dead. Amen. Faith, or so-called faith, that doesn't have corresponding actions, is dead. The Amplified Classic Version says, Faith that doesn't have deeds and actions of obedience to back it up is destitute of power. It's inoperative, it's dead. Amen. And then Jesus said, everyone who hears my sayings but does not do them, he likens it to a person that builds his house without a foundation. You know, builds his house on the sand. And then when the storms of life hit that house, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. It's going to fail. It's going to not prosper. It's not going to succeed. But Jesus went on to say, those that hear my word and do the word, amen, their house is built on a sure foundation, on a rock. And then when the storms of life, the problems of life, the trials of life come, that house will not be shaken. It will not be defeated. It will not be unsuccessful. Amen. Glory to God. And I like what Luke's account says. Luke's account of Jesus when he told that story says, those who have heard and do nothing. Those who have heard and do nothing will not succeed. They'll not overcome. They'll not experience victory. Amen. I said amen. Glory to God. So we've been talking about these things. Are you listening to me? I said, are you listening to me? So we've been emphasizing in these services the importance of meditating in the Word. Now watch this. Versus just reading it. It's good to read it and good to study it. That's a part of meditation. But just to read it, but not actually taking it to heart and remembering it and believing it and making it a part of your daily life. You see, if it's not on the inside of you, if it's just something if you read it and forget about it, what good does it do you? Or if somebody could say, oh yeah, I read that one time, but if you're not really living by it, what good's it doing you? So we've been emphasizing in these services the importance of meditating in the Word versus just reading it, but not actually taking it to heart and remembering it and believing it and therefore not practicing or doing it. So God, through Joshua, God through the psalmist, God through the Lord Jesus himself, and God through James, and it's really found in other places, all tell us exactly, I mean exactly how to succeed, exactly how to prosper, exactly how to overcome and not be defeated and not experience failure. Isn't that right? I said, isn't that the truth? Sure it is. Praise God. Amen. Now, let me give you another example of what I'm talking about, because like I said, we've been particularly emphasizing the importance to become a doer of the Word, to become a believer of the Word, to become somebody that actually practices the Word and doesn't forget the Word they've heard. It all begins with meditation. Meditation. Amen. And so let me give you another example of what I'm talking about. And you could go ahead and look at it, because there'll be a little bit of teaching in this itself. James chapter 1. James. Now I'm using this as an example, not a full teaching, but you'll see where we're going here. James chapter 1. Something you're very familiar with here, but over the years, I'm going back 40 years now, when people have come to me for help, when people have come to me for counsel and godly advice and so forth, because people come for different reasons, but mainly they come because they're experiencing some sort of test, some sort of trial, going through some sort of difficulty. And thank God for each other. Thank God we can talk to one another. Thank God we can pray with one another. Thank God we can help one another. Can you say amen? But many times when they come to me, and it doesn't matter what the specific storm of life is. You know, a storm of life represents a trial, a test, a mountain, a difficulty, a problem, you know, a crisis. It doesn't, there's 101 different storms it could be. It doesn't matter what the particular storm of life it is. It could be any of a number of things. But in most of these cases, somebody's coming to me, they need help. Most of these cases, there are generally two areas that they are not observing to do the Word. Doesn't matter what the issue is, they're not doing what the Word of God says. And most of these people would say, oh yeah, I've heard that many, many times. But when the pressure's on, they're not doing the Word. Can you have success if you don't do the Word? Well, and if you don't do the Word, are you dealing wisely? No. And here's one of them found right here in James chapter 1, verse number 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, various temptations, tests and trials. What are you supposed to do when you're going through a difficult time, a problem, a difficulty? You're to count it all joy. See, it's not joy. That's why you have to count it all joy. But you count it all joy because even though things don't look good, and even though it looks like you're going to go under, even though it looks like you're going to fail, even though it looks like you're not going to prosper, even though it looks like you're not going to make it, you know what the Word of God says, and you know that if you believe the Word of God and believe the promises of God and act on the Word of God, you're going to make it in grand style. So you count it all joy. Amen? Now, is that the truth? Amen. Amen. So if we don't operate in joy, if we don't count it all joy, then we're not being a doer of the Word. Is that right? If you're not being a doer of the Word, then you're not acting wisely. And if you're not acting wisely, you're not going to succeed. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to overcome. You follow me? Amen. I said amen. And you know, there's reasons behind why we do things. And it's good to study those things out and learn about those things. We do that all the time in our teaching and preaching. But you know, whether you know the reason behind it or not, just be a doer of the Word, bless God. Just do what God tells you to do. Amen. You know, there's reasons we pray. Amen. I mean, if God's God and He wants to do something, why does He not need us to pray? Well, there's reasons behind that, but if you don't even understand the reasons, just do what He told you to do. Praise God. So believe. Now think about that. 1 Peter 1:8 says, believing, you rejoice. Believing, you rejoice. Well, you have to understand what that's. Anytime you see the word believing in the Bible, understand what we're talking about. You know, we use this term, and it's not incorrect. It's probably even a dictionary definition of the word believe in 2021. We use the believe in the sense of, I believe it's going to rain this afternoon. I think it might. But the original meaning of believe had nothing to do with that kind of. The original definition of believe is simply this. You accept something as true. You accept something as a fact, even though you have no physical proof. If you've got physical proof, there's no such thing as I believe it. You only believe because you don't have physical truth. That's what faith is. That's what believe is. You believe something to be true, even though you have no physical proof, even though you have no evidence. We walk by faith and not by our physical senses. Why would you believe something to be true even though you have no physical proof of it? Because God Almighty said it. Amen. So believing, that means you're going, you know, and Peter's talking about test and trial. You believing. You believe that everything's going to be okay. You believe God's taking care of this. You believe your need is met, whatever it is. You accept something to be true, even though you have no physical proof of it. And when you believe, you rejoice. You rejoice. If we believe, even though we can't presently see any change or results, we will count it all joy by faith. Habakkuk 1, you know, says this. I was glad Sheila pointed this out the other day. I've never heard anybody else point this out. I've noticed this over the year. But, you know, Habakkuk got the revelation. He got the revelation, the just shall live by faith. But think of that word live. That means really live. The just shall really live if you're living by faith. The just shall thrive. They shall flourish. They shall overcome. They shall succeed. They shall succeed. They shall experience the abundant life that Jesus promised us if you live by faith. And so Habakkuk got that revelation, and then he concludes, you know, in this wonderful passage in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 17, says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. I mean, you remember, this is an agricultural society. This is not good news if you're a 100% basically agricultural society. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, because he understands, the just shall live by faith. Yet I will rejoice. Count it all joy. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Don't just think of coming to the altar and getting saved. Salvation means to be delivered, you know. And so that's what he's saying here. You know, I will joy in the God of my salvation who delivers me. Amen. And so the Amplified Bible says it this way. I like this. The New Amplified Bible says, though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails and the fields produce no fruit, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, watch this, yet I will, everybody say, I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exaltation in the victorious God of my salvation. And we're not just talking about you got a good, sweet attitude and you're shouting the victory even though the devil's beating your brains out. No, you got to put this in contact with the rest of the scriptures. You're going to shout and you're going to be joyful because you know your God's going to take care of you and you're going to come out the other side victorious like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They went through the fiery furnace and they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. That's what I call victory with a capital V. You ever been around a campfire? You're going to smell like smoke. Besides that, they should have been burnt to a crispy crisper 14,000 times over. I said that at one time, you know, that's victory with a capital V. And you know, you have all the, you ever notice the bands have strange names? Like Mercy Me, you know where that came from? The band Mercy Me? You know, they sang that famous song. Come on, what is it? Huh? I can only imagine. Mercy Me. He got that because his grandmother always said to him, "Mercy me, boy." Well, I said, and we had somebody here that was in a little band, and I said, that's victory with a capital V, and he named his band Capital V. I thought that was pretty good. He said, if you ever get famous, I want royalties, but he never got famous. Yet I will choose to rejoice. I will choose to rejoice. I'm going somewhere here. I just want you to see this. These are things you know, aren't they? Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is our strength. One of the reasons that you need to count it all joy is you need to be strong in the middle of this thing, dealing with the pressure. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like a medicine. But a broken, what's that? A sad, dejected, downcast, wounded spirit dries the bones. And then Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him. Now, there's other scriptures, there's a lot of scriptures in Proverbs. But Proverbs 18:14 says, the spirit of a man will sustain him in sickness, but who can bear a broken spirit? The spirit of a man. Other translations say it this way, the strong spirit of a man. Another translation says, the healthy spirit of a man. Another translation says, a cheerful spirit of a man or woman will sustain him in sickness. But who can bear a broken spirit? That's got a question mark at the end of it. That's a question. You know what the answer is? No one. A broken spirit. The answer is no one. No one can bear a broken spirit, a wounded spirit, a dejected spirit, a depressed spirit. The answer is no one. Amen. And so this broken spirit is translated by others. Translation is a depressed spirit, a wounded spirit. The Amplified Classic says, the strong spirit of a man will sustain him in bodily pain or trouble. But a weak and broken spirit, who can raise up? So if you put this all together, not just the scriptures I gave you, but there's a lot of scriptures in Proverbs about, you know, anxiety in the heart of a man weighs it down versus a joyful spirit. If you put all these scriptures together, I'm going to use it a different way. I believe this is very clearly saying to us, amen. A positive, joyful, full of faith, spirit and outlook will see you through in times of trouble. But a dejected, downcast, negative, gloomy, joyless, sad, depressed, and wounded spirit can't help you. Nobody can bear it. You know, I've said this before, I'll say it again. People come to me many times over the years, want me to help them bear a broken spirit. That's, the Bible already told you, no one can bear it. We got to get you out of that. We got to get you from sad to glad, from doubt and fear to faith. That's how you overcome. Psalm 61:10 speaks of a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What should you do when you're down and dejected and just want to sit in the corner and cry? Get up, and even if the tears are rolling down your face, begin to shout and exalt in the Lord your God, and begin to praise Him and rejoice and lift your voice right in the midst of all that hell. Say, I don't feel like it. Well, you want to come out? Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:8 says, in, not for everything, but in everything, in every situation that you face, in everything, give thanks. Glory to God. Now, watch this. Here's where I'm going. These are just a few scriptures on joy with an emphasis on expressing joy right in the middle of some test or trial. One that kind of sums it all up, count it all joy when you fall into various temptations and trials. And my point to you tonight is that, now there are some people that don't know that, especially in the beginning of the year, you'd have to teach them these things, you know, the importance of joy. And of course, we remind people of these truths. How many of you have heard every scripture I just read? How many of you have read those scriptures, heard those scriptures preached, read them in books, heard preachers on TV over and over and over and over and over again? Amen? Most of the people that came to me during a test and trial could say the same thing. Oh yeah, I've heard that. I've heard you preach on it 25 times. I've heard this. Yet they came to me and they were doing exactly the opposite. Because of their test, because of their trial, they were down, they were sad, they were heavy, they were depressed, and they were gloomy. It's the doer of the word that is. When you know what the word of God says and you do it, then you're dealing wisely and you'll have good success. If you're doing the opposite of it, are you going to have good success and prosper? You see the point I'm making to you? Amen. And these people would very much consider themselves doers of the word, and they would very much say, yeah, I know that. And they were good people. Don't misunderstand me. See, it's when the word is fresh and alive on the inside of you. When it's fresh and alive in your heart is a divine revelation because you've meditated in it. That's when you're going to remember it. That's when you're going to act on it. That's when you're going to obey it. That's when you're going to believe it. That's when you're going to practice it in daily life. And so, you know, we say all the time, that's the point that God was getting across to the Israelites. You can't live on yesterday's manna. You got to go out and get fresh manna. The Apostle Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. How many of you know if you plant a seed and you water that seed, that it's going to grow? Amen. But people forget about the watering part. Brother Hagin used to say it this way. He said, when somebody comes along and they preach the word of God to you that you've never heard, or you know, you heard it and you forgot it, when they preach the word of God to you, that's when it's planted in your heart. When somebody comes along and teaches that word to you over and over and over again, that's the watering process. And when the word is planted and watered, you will have increase. Hallelujah. You don't believe that? Just go get you a patch of your yard and put some kind of tarp over it and dig a big ditch around it and make sure that it gets no water, period. I mean, no wind blows in it, you know, for the next 5 years. And you will create a little desert. I recently had a couple of bald spots in my yard, and so I thought, bless God, I'm gonna, you know, because I go to the store like Lowe's or Home Depot and I buy this. I'm trying to buy dirt, but unless you just go buy it by the half ton load, you know, nobody really sells dirt. They sell this organic, all this kind of, and I don't think what I've discovered is you got to mix that with dirt or nothing's going to really grow. It's to help dirt, but if there ain't no dirt there. So anyway, this time I got the cheapest, because I'm looking for dirt. It's not that I'm cheap. I'm just looking for something that's the closest thing I can get to dirt, and read the bag real carefully and went home. And so those holes, you know, circular holes or whatever, kind of dug it all out and dug the dirt, kind of mixed it together. And then I sprinkled my seed all over it and we watered it and kind of mashed it into the ground and everything. And I waited for a week and nothing happened. And I waited for 2 weeks and nothing happened. And I had serious doubts that seed was ever going to come up and grow grass. And I said that one day at lunch, and Caleb, you know, just kind of laughed at me and said, you have doubts that seed is going to grow? I said, well, when it comes to, I mean, you know, it's only been working perfectly for the last, you know, 8,000 years by millions and millions and millions of people. There's no such thing as it not, all things being equal. There's no such thing as it not working, and you have serious doubts? I said, well, you got to understand, Margaret and I don't have a green thumb. I mean, you know, we tried to grow watermelons one time, and they got about the size of a I don't know, a softball. And we tried to grow tomatoes. I mean, we just don't have a green thumb. And so I read on the back of that package, you know, that it would that it took 21 days for you to see this, for you to see the first signs of it. And I was out there every morning watering it, watering it. And then lo and behold, now when it comes to the seed of God's word, I know it works. I know it. You plant it in your heart. It ain't gonna happen overnight. You plant it in your word and you take care of it, you water it, you keep hearing it, you protect it. You don't let the devil choke it out. You don't give up on it. And it will produce a harvest in your life a million out of a million times. And so that stuff finally became, I was kind of like that movie, you know, what was Tom Hanks marooned on that island, Castaway? You know, he said, fire, I created fire. I was kind of like, grass, I grew grass. Look at me, I'm a grass grower. So I did it two or three other places. Hallelujah. Wouldn't mow over it, you know, letting it get up a good stand and so forth. Amen. Because the word of God is likened to seed. That's, by the way, why it doesn't always work overnight. Seed takes time to grow. Just because but you can't say it's not growing just because you can't see that it's not growing, can you? I mean, at 21 days, that seed didn't lie there dormantly, then all of a sudden go boing. No, it was growing the whole time. And whether you see it or not, things are happening if you'll stay strong and you'll keep believing and not give up and not quit. Can you say amen? But so here are these people. So I said there's two things in particular. People come to me, and the first thing I have to say is, okay, we're going to deal with your particular issue. But you know, the first thing is the Word of God says to count it all joy. And the second thing, they come and they're sad and they're down and they're depressed. They're not counting it all joy. And the second thing is, generally speaking, not everybody, but generally speaking, is they're very worried. And they're very anxious. And I don't know what I'm going to do. And they're upset and they're anxious. Does the Word of God very clearly tell us to cast our cares over on the Lord? If we are not casting our cares over on the Lord, then are we being a doer of the Word? Is it going to work if we don't do what the Word of God says? And again, these are people that know these Scriptures, have read these Scriptures, and you know, that's my point. You know, so they forget, even though they've heard it many times, that Philippians 4:6 says, don't be anxious or worried. Instead, take it to the Lord and thank Him. You thank Him because you believe that He's taking care of it. You give it to the Lord with thanksgiving, meaning that you believe He's going to take care of it. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. Or like the Phillips translation says, casting all your care on Him, for you are His personal concern. But if I forget that, and you can forget that, I said you can forget that. Now, you know, some 40 years ago, maybe before, maybe, I don't know, going back to 1977, I began to realize that fear was the opposite of faith, and I very much wanted to operate in faith. And so I began to realize, you know, fear is the whole kingdom of the evil one. The devil works on the principle of fear, just like God's kingdom works on the principle of faith. And anxiety and worry is a manifestation of fear. You know, there can be scary fear, sudden fear. Turn your hair white fear, but there can just be you're anxious and worried. That is a form of fear. You follow me? Amen. And so I began to realize that. So I just immediately, any kind of fear, I resisted it, I rebuked it, and I stood against it and claimed God has not given me a spirit of fear. And I did that so much. I was talking to Sheila the other day, and I remember this. I did that so much that it just shocked me if a fear thought came to my mind. But you know, that's 40 years ago. And recently, all of a sudden, I just began to have, I don't know, it was, I suppose it was like a panic attack. I'd never had anything like that happen to me in my life. And I began to, I didn't realize what was going on, because, you know, I'm thinking this must be physical. And then there's this going on and this going on and two or three things. And I began to realize, you know, hey, this is fear. This is nothing but fear. And I'm lying awake worrying about some things and being anxious about some things in my body and anxious about this and anxious about this. And so when I realized what was going on, then bless God, I begin to do what I know to do. I go to the Word of God and I find those Scriptures that talk about, fear not, for I am with you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death. Because a little bit of this was almost like a panic type fear. Different kind of, you know. I know how this works, see. You deal with it, and you resist it, and you get rid of it, then it's gone. You stand there and play around with it, you don't know what to do in most cases. And it doesn't have to be fear. It can be depression. It can be feelings of loneliness. It can be feelings of grief. It can be any of a thousand things. And you sit there and you take it in, and it'll get more and more of a hold of it on you, and then you're going to live with it for the next 25 years. If I woke up in the middle of the night, I'd think about those scriptures. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I am the Lord that has redeemed you. Fear not, for I am with you. A couple of times I got up out of bed and went and got a Bible out of, you know, out of one of the, whatever. The cupboard, but it wasn't in the cupboard. It was in the, the credenza or something. And actually look up those scriptures and read them. Broke that thing off me, bless God. Hallelujah. But if we're worried and upset and discouraged and anxious and down, then we're not being then we're not being a doer of the word. If you find yourself, if I find myself, if we find ourselves without joy, without peace, we're worried, fearful, down and discouraged, that should automatically signal us. You know, like the warning lights in your car, that warning light should go off in your mind and in your spirit and in your heart. That should automatically signal us, hey, I'm not actively believing some promise. Because if I was actively believing some promise, I would not be upset, I would not be anxious, and I would not be discouraged. That should automatically signal us, hey, I'm not being a doer of the word. Amen? Now, let me do this, and we'll kind of conclude this series with this. Let me give you three very specific steps to acting wisely or to becoming a doer of the word so that you might have good success. Three very specific steps to acting wisely or to becoming a doer of the word so that you might have good success. And that's true in any area of life. Number one, in every situation that, you know, we're talking about, you're all of a sudden you're faced with something. All of a sudden you need an answer to something. All of a sudden you're going through a difficulty or trial or have a problem. In every situation, number one, in every situation, ask yourself, what does the Word say about this? What does the Word say about this? Having problems in your marriage? What does the Word say about this? Having problems getting along with your boss at work? What does the Word say about this? Having problems in your finances? What does the Bible say about this? Having problems with some emotion? What does the Word say about this? Having problems with fear? What does the Word say about this? Having problems overcoming some sin? Go to the Word. What does the Word say about this? How does God's Word say I should respond? What does God's Word tell me to believe about this? See, some things are a matter of obedience, acting on the Word in obedience. Some things are a matter of acting on the Word in faith. And usually a combination of the two. So what does God's Word promise me concerning my particular situation? Find scriptures, plural. Find scriptures that deal with your specific situation. Man, I feel insecure and afraid, not nobody loves me. Go to the Word of God, find out what it says to you about. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Literally, God has not given us a fear of timidity. That's what that literally means. Spirit of fear is a spirit of being timid. Find out what the Word of God says. Then number two, take those scriptures that you just learned, that you just discovered, or take those scriptures you learned or rediscovered or reexamined. Remember that? See, I know I've preached 150 messages on fear. I just didn't say, oh, I know everything there is to know about fear. I went back to the Word of God and looked up those scriptures. Found, you know, 8 or 10 of them that specifically say, fear not, for I am with you. A lot of reasons not to fear, but why would you be afraid if God's with you? I mean, who cares how big Goliath is if God's standing there right beside you as your defender, as your protector? Amen? Amen? Glory to God. So go to the Word of God. Take those scriptures you learned or rediscovered or reexamined and get them firmly fixed and established in your heart through meditation. I'll say that again. Take those scriptures you just learned or rediscovered or reexamined and then get them firmly fixed and established in your heart. Take those scriptures you learned or rediscovered or reexamined and get them firmly fixed and established in your heart through meditation. I give you enough time, Sheila, to get them? All right, because I know other people, I'm just asking you. See, now watch this. When you skip step one, what does the Word say? I'm having a problem with this relationship. What does the Word say? Of course, sometimes the Holy Ghost will speak to you. I'm having a problem with this. What does the Word say? Well, the Word says to forgive. What does the Word say? I go to the Word and I find out I'm the one that's wrong. The Word says they're in proper authority and I need to submit to them. I don't want to hear that, Lord. Well, it doesn't matter whether you want to hear it or not. You got your answer. He's not going to tell you anything different. What does the Word say? See, when you skip those two steps, people end up praying and believing apart from the Word of God. When you pray and believe apart from the Word of God, you will not have good success. When you skip these first two steps, you'll act apart from God's Word. You'll do something. You'll say, well, I think this is, you'll do something, but apart from God's Word, you won't have good success. Or you just end up agreeing with the Bible without actually believing it. See, it has to, for this to work, it won't work apart from faith. And so they try to believe with it, but then it won't work because they don't really believe it yet. But if you spend time meditating in the Word of God, it'll get on the inside of you as a divine revelation. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, and it'll explode on the inside of you, and you'll be so full of it, nobody can talk you out of it. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, here's a problem we have in the body of Christ. Mark 11:24, very important. Key to miracles. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive. Literally, believe you received. Not you're going to get it sometime in the future. That's not faith. That's hope. Hope is believing, having a good expectation of good days to come. That's a good and wonderful thing. But faith says, no, I believe that God heard and answered my prayer. I believe my need is met. You believe, meaning you have no physical proof of it. You have God's word for it, and you believe your need is met. You believe your prayer is answered. And so you say, thank God I'm healed. Oh, glory to God. Do you feel any better? I don't know. I hadn't checked. I believe I am because the Word says I am. Then you will be. But you know, you can understand that concept and it not work for you. Because it says, believe you received. You say, oh, I get that. I believe I received. But you don't really believe you received. Believe is its lowest, simplest, common denominator is to be fully persuaded or fully convinced. I'm fully persuaded. I'm fully convinced that God heard and answered my prayer. In other words, I took it by faith. I'm fully convinced it's mine now. And if you're not fully convinced, you just go back and you keep meditating in the Word of God until you get fully convinced. That's what I'm talking about. You cannot skip steps one and two. You ever tried to, you know, I don't know, you ladies, you know, skip steps one and two when you're cooking something, just forget about, if step number one's turn the stove on, then you're not going to get very far. No matter, you can do all the other steps perfectly, but it ain't going to work if you didn't turn the stove on. Are you listening to me? Amen. Amen. So again, in every situation, find out what God's Word says. Take those scriptures you learned, get them firmly fixed and established in your heart. Line up with it. Don't fight it. I never have understood why some people want to disagree with the Word. Well, I just think, I don't give a flip, excuse me. I don't really care what you think. Because I don't care what I think. I only care what God thinks. Doesn't matter what I think, it only matters what God. Well, this is my opinion. I think husbands, it doesn't matter. If it doesn't line up with the Word, it's not worth a nickel. Less than that. Just line up with it, agree with it, and then build those truths into your heart through meditation. Then you'll believe and act and pray in line with God. Then you'll be confident in God's will. You'll never be fully persuaded and fully convinced if you're not absolutely, perfectly, completely, 1,000% sure it's God's will to do something for you. When you're meditating in the Word of God, then you become fully convinced of God's will. You'll know what to do, and you'll become fully persuaded or full of faith. After you've done steps in 1 and 2, and not until you've done steps 1 and 2, now you're ready for step number 3. Step number 3 is just simply to release your faith. But it has 3 parts. Release your faith. Now you're ready to release your faith. Release your faith. Number 1, 3 parts. A, part A has to do with the way you should live in order to succeed. Amen. So step number 3 is act on the truths you discovered in faith. I went to the Word of God and I found out, oh, I see exactly what I need to do in this particular situation. I need to forgive. Oh, I see exactly what I need to do. I need to submit to someone in authority. Oh, I see exactly what I need to do in my particular situation. I need to cast my care over on the Lord. Or I need to start tithing and giving. Or I need to give up this attitude. That's a wrong attitude. That's an ungodly attitude. Or I need to be faithful and diligent versus being lazy. Or I need to start spending money wisely. I've been spending money unwisely. The Word of God told me not to be a spendthrift. And you find out what God's Word says and you do it. Because you know what to do. And because it's built on the inside of you. Amen. So 3 parts. Number 1, act on the truths you discovered in faith. Or B, and B and C both have to do with what you need to do in order to receive the promise. You know, some things aren't a matter of you know, you tithe and give, but then the other side of it is you got to do it in faith. And we obtain the promises, amen, through what? Through faith. It says they obtain the promises. It's through faith and patience we inherit the promises. Amen. So now I'm going to release my faith, and you can do it 1 or 2 ways. You can speak your faith. That's part B. Or C, you can pray in faith and believe you receive. Part B is Mark 11:23. Well, you know, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You don't have to pray it. All you have to do is speak it in faith. Say in the name of Jesus, I will have that money come the first of the month when I need it, for instance. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, I command this problem to be gone from me in Jesus' name. See, now you're ready to release it. Now it has power behind it because you believe what you're saying. Or you can ask God for the thing you need and believe you receive it, according to Mark 11:24. Amen. I said amen. Just real quickly, because that's a whole 20 series right there. Just real quick, because he could teach on this for hours, but this will help us focus just for a moment as we close. Faith will work by saying without praying. This is Brother Hagin. Notice Mark 11:23 doesn't mention praying, but faith also works by prayer. Let me repeat that. Faith will work by saying, or it will work by praying. But when you pray it, you still have to say it. You have to say, I believe I receive. Mark 11:23 and 24 brought me off a bed of sickness many years ago. After I had prayed, then I began to say, not think. I began to say out loud in my room, I believe that I receive healing for my body. Then I specified each thing that was wrong. I believe I receive healing for the heart condition. I believe I receive healing for this paralysis. I believe I receive healing for this incurable disease. And just in case I had missed anything, I concluded, I believe that I receive healing from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. Now, when he's believed he received that, not one single thing had changed in his body. But he said, I believe I received it. Within the hour, every symptom of physical deficiency disappeared from my body, and I was standing on the floor beside my bed, healed. There's just a shade difference in what you believe when you say it and when you pray it. In Mark 11:23, Jesus didn't say just believe. He told us exactly what to believe. Faith by saying is believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. I've gone to bed at night before with a little bit of, you know, you can kind of, it's just minor, but because you got experience, you know that this little minor sniffle could turn into a 3.5 week, bad cold or flu, whatever. And I've gone to bed saying, because I believed it in my heart, I believe when I wake up in the morning, I won't have one single sign of that. And when I woke up in the morning, I didn't have one single sign of that. There's other times, you know, many times I just said, well, I believe I receive healing from my body right now. And I thank you, Lord God, that I am healed. So if you're going to have good success, you're going to have to act on the Word of God. You're going to have to release your faith in some form. When you believe those things that you say shall come to pass, they haven't come to pass yet. But keep on believing those things you said. Be sure you've said shall come to pass. What will happen then? He shall have whatever he says. Sooner or later, he shall have it. Faith by praying is when you believe that you receive them. When you pray, not after you pray. Not the next week. You believe you got it when you pray. But when you pray, the very moment, believe. Believe what? Believe that you receive your request. Begin to say, I believe that I receive. And what will happen? You shall have them. Yet the believing will come, but the having doesn't come first. Believing comes first, then the having. I wanted to get to one thing you said here real quick. Stand up with me. Praise God. Stand up with me. Here it is. When I've needed things in my own life, I've always just stood on Mark 11:23 and said or confessed what I was believing for. I've always just said it, not prayed it. When another person is involved, however, what they believe can affect your prayers, especially if they are not in agreement with you. I haven't prayed about money for years. I've never been without money. I always just say, the money will come, and it comes. When I need a certain amount, I specify in my confession the amount I need. Once I needed $1,500 by the first of the month. So I said it, and I kept saying it. During times of prayer, I didn't pray it. I just said, by the first of the month, I'll have $1,500. When the first of the month came, I had $1,500. Praise the Lord. So you get that? Amen. Glory to God. Step number three, act on the truths you discovered. Be obedient to whatever it tells you to do about your marriage, about your home, about your finances. And then when it comes to some promise of God, either speak words of faith and believe your need is met, or ask God for the thing you need and believe you receive it. When you do that, you're acting on the Word, and you'll have good success, and you will prosper. And that's good news. Can you say amen? I said, can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. But that's why, going back to Joshua, he just didn't say, do the Word. He said, meditate in the Word so that you'll know what to do, so that you'll really know what to do, so that it'll be on the inside of you, so that it'll be deep in your heart, so that you'll remember it and believe it, and then do what it says, and then you'll have good success. And the other side of that coin is, it's not, yum, that's not how you meditate biblically anyway, but you know, it's not, and then magically you have good success. No, you meditate so that you know what to do. And then when you do it in faith, you have success. Can you say amen? Amen. Say, I'm a doer of the Word. Therefore, I'm successful and blessed in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you so much.